The following podcast is brought to you by Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington, just 45 minutes from downtown Toronto. That's right, 45 minutes. You'll find the most beautiful and affordable public golf course in Ontario. I was there the other day. I'm going again Sunday. That's right, twice in 1 week. That's how much I love it. Outstanding customer service, million-dollar views, fabulous food and bevies, terrific driving range, and of course, a championship golf course that's always in outstanding condition. And if you book your tee time online rather than by phone, you'll save $10 per golfer. That's $40 per foursome. That's enough to have lunch at the Back Nine Bistro. Try the turkey and cheese pesto panini. Fabulous. Had it the other day. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. That's crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time, save some dough, and when you get there, make sure you tell them Hebsy sent you. Now, Mike, let's begin the podcast. Hey there, sports fans. Welcome to Hebsy on Sports, episode number 292. I'm your host, Mark Hebscher, alongside Toronto Mike. And today on the show, the Blue Jays lose again. Rogers loses again. And today, Rogers and, yeah, bad. See, when things go bad for one division of the company, then the rest of the divisions in the company can expect the same thing. That's what happens when you lose 6 out of 7. And the playoffs are no guarantee for this team. Wait do you see what happens with your services then if the Jays don't make the playoffs? Spotty? I'll say. We'll discuss the Jays at length and in detail. Shane Wright, heavy favorite. First overall in the NHL draft. What? Minus 1,100? Are you out of your mind? The overwhelming favorite, the prohibitive favorite. When they tell you that you're going to be drafted first overall in the National Hockey League in Montreal, and everybody's there, the cameras are there, and you're going to go first overall, and then the top pick is a Slovakian, and then the second pick is a Slovakian, and then the third pick is an American, and you're going, wait a minute, what happened to Canada? At least I was. The Maple Leafs made a backwards deal in order to free up some cap space because of that horrible move they made last year when they signed Peter Mrazek. Well, he's gone. We go from 25 to 38. Okay, lose the first round pick, but we gain cap space. If that's any good, if we can sign a freaking goalie. And don't get me started with those Montreal fans. They booed the top pick, Juraj Slafkovský, because they all had money on Shane Wright being number one. And they were generally boorish. Now, I know that everybody would boo Gary Bettman. But I got to believe in Toronto, after a while, they wouldn't be as enthusiastic every time he said something, right?
Wrong.
They're just boors, you know? A team didn't make the playoffs last year. Ole, ole, ole. Oh, come on. Rafa withdraws from Wimbledon, which sets up a possible Djokovic-Nick Kyrgios final. Not crazy about that. Not going to be running back to watch. Two villains, two guys I just don't like. And is Shohei Ohtani the greatest athlete to play any sport? Even better than Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders, who played two sports at high levels simultaneously, kind of? Questions to ponder. Let's say hi to Toronto Mike, who got stoned this week. Drunk and stoned.
Yeah, but not on the same day. They were two separate days.
Good for you. Good for you.
When in Rome, right? Welcome, Hebsy. Good to see you. This must be evidence that you are not a Rogers internet customer because we're live, despite the fact that as we speak, I think most Rogers customers are down and out offline.
Well, I don't know anything. I don't know what to tell you, except I'm sorry that your life has been affected because a telecom company can't get its act together. Don't know what to tell you. And listen, it could be worse, Mike. You could be a Rogers customer and flying on Air Canada today out of Pearson. So imagine that feeling, right. Okay? You can't get your information about your flight that's been delayed. It's a whole, just stay home. Welcome, everybody. It's Friday. It's the 8th of July. I'm Mark Hebscher. That's Toronto Mike. And I just got back from my favorite part of the province, with the exception of downtown Toronto where I live, and that is Niagara.
Nice.
You know, Muskoka's great. Going there in a couple of weeks to visit some friends. Love Western Ontario. Love out in Grand Bend and out there. Love it out east. Love Prince Edward County. Love Peterborough. Mm-hmm. You know, Ottawa Valley. Beautiful. But let's face it, Niagara, gorgeous. fantastic. Tell us,
what did you do in
golf? We golfed. Now I love Airbnb. Been going to Airbnbs for many, many years. Rarely, if I ever have, do I have a problem. And if there is a problem, Airbnb, the folks there, five stars when it comes to customer service. They look after you. So here's what happened. We're going to go play golf, right? And we're playing golf at the, Port Colborne Country Club. We played with Elliot Price, as a matter of fact, the other day. So right. I tell him that I'm going, I said, listen, he says, I'm a member there. We'll get, you know, we'll all play together. Great. So I get an Airbnb that is right on the golf course. This is a house. It's a house that's right on the golf course.
Right.
What better, if you're going golfing, what better accommodations to have? Anyway, a few days before we're leaving, I'd say 3 days before, I get a message from Airbnb that says, from the guy that says, listen, I've got a problem here with the plumbing and, you know, it's may not be fixed by the time you get here. If you want to cancel, you know, go right ahead. So, okay, thanks for the heads up. We cancel. And now I contact Airbnb and say, listen, now I don't have much notice. It's kind of tough to get a place down in Niagara, you know, 4th of July type of thing. And they said, no, we'll look after it. And they did. They found us another place.
Wow.
Right. Excellent, you know, terrific, same price, beautiful. And then that guy, 12 hours before we're about to leave to go there, gets in touch to say that there was a smoker, that people were smoking in the unit and that the unit's going to smell from smoke and you can cancel if you want. So now, okay, here's my choice. I can cancel and then hope that Airbnb can find me something in 12 hours. Or I can say, let's stay in a place that's with smoke, which there's no way. Now I'm thinking, okay, let's see what Airbnb can do. And this is obviously an endorsement for them. And not only do they find me a place, they find me a beautiful place, even nicer.
Wow.
But I tell them, I said, but I'm not going to spend that price. You've got to get me something and charge me the price that you promised me for my accommodations originally, which was about $120 a night, right? Which is pretty darn good when you're, you know.
Sure.
$120 a night's darn good. You're not going to get that in a hotel. And anyway. So what they had to do was they had to go, and I don't know how they did it, but they had to go to this place that was available, right? In 12 hours, this for the two nights that we wanted, it was available. It was a much higher price than we were willing to pay. And they negotiated however they did it, or they picked up the tab or whatever. But essentially, Mike, I saved $160 a night. I would have never booked this other place that we stayed in. It was too expensive.
Right.
But 12 hours notice, if they came to you and said, look, would you rather the place sat empty for the next two nights and you got nothing? Or would you take whatever it was, $120 a night, however they did the deal. Anyway, we go into this other place. Fantastic.
Wow.
Really nice. Superb. At the price, the original price we were to pay for a place that wasn't nearly as nice.
Wow.
So things kind of had a way of working themselves out. The weather was perfect. We played golf 2 days in a row. The second day where we played with Elliot at Port Colborne, it rained. It poured. This was Tuesday morning. Poured.
Hebsy, if I'm hearing you right, you got a great price and you played golf with a great price.
We got a great price, but also the raindrops stopped, I swear to you, the minute we walked onto the golf course. Like it's pouring rain, pouring rain, pouring rain, pouring rain. We get out of the car, the rain stops. We tee off, not a drop of rain. It was beautiful. That's a great vacation.
Good stuff, man. You didn't appreciate my Ron McLean-esque pun there on the word price, but
I didn't appreciate it.
I was looking for some chuckle, like some laughter, you know, some encouragement there. That hey, I see what you did there. His name is Price. I got a good price.
But the only thing,
all right, that's enough for me.
You're not the only one that has done that, Professor. You know, you're not the first to go. Hey, wait a second, Price. But I got it. You're right. Yes, we had a good time with Price, and we got a good price for it. 100%.
How's he doing, by the way? Because a lot of people haven't heard from him in a while. But
he's moving to BC with his,
wow.
Both of his kids are going to be in BC. But he's got a 19-year-old and a 22-year-old. So one's already out there, and the other one's, he says, let's go.
He's going to have a blast. He's gonna love it.
Okay, play by golf. The guy, man, plays golf 6 days a week. 6 days a week. Hang on one second.
Yeah, no problem.
Hang on.
On your live stream on YouTube, Chris, I want to say hi to Chris. He says that you're a good golfer. I don't know if you can still hear me, but Hebsy is a good golfer. And Michael, what's up to you, my friend? Jamal says that this is dedication, that we're podcasting during an outage. But it's easy to podcast. Easy to podcast when you don't have Rogers. So
that'll never happen again. That's my little outage for the day.
That's okay. I was just shouting out the good people on the live stream who are impressed. One person is impressed with your dedication that you're actually doing this during an outage, but it's not really special if you're not out. It's not like we had to go like find an internet connection. I know. Okay,
let's pretend. All I know is a light went out here, and then there's a flickering going on. I'm thinking like,
oh, does Rogers run your hydro?
I know. I'm not. I don't know, but I know that I know that my neighbor upstairs here is on. They're on Rogers, and they may be trying to get in touch with me. Too bad. Tough doing a podcast. So anyway, I'm up till I don't know what time it was, 12:30 or whatever. Anyway, I'm up. I stay up. I watched the Jays last night. Hey, listen, you get used to it, okay? I planned for this week. I knew that I was going to be staying up late to watch games.
Right.
Past my normal bedtime, I guess, if it were. And so I saved up my sleep from the week before. This is how you do it, right?
Because I don't know if it works that way.
Oh, it does work that way for me.
Okay, for you. What, okay, by the way, what is your normal sleep time just before we hear this story?
Yeah, normally I'm done by midnight, the latest, maybe 11:30-ish. Okay. You know, I'm ready to go to bed. And then I'm up. I'm usually up 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Gotcha.
So last night I stay up, of course, you know, as I have all week long for the Blue Jays, who limped into Seattle last night with home field advantage against the Mariners. They had home field advantage. Thousands of fans from Western Canada converging on the Emerald City for a four-game weekend series, which they look forward to, man. It's just, it's nuts. I've been there for it. It's crazy. It's great. Oh, and the Seattle fans hate it.
Right.
Fucking Canadians. Here come those fucking Blue Jay fans. Hey, baby, we represent an entire country. Yeah, country. What do you guys have? King County? Think anybody outside of Seattle gives a shit about the Mariners? Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody. So go fuck yourselves if you don't like it. Too bad. Then buy tickets in advance. Seattle fans, do what they do. Say, oh, come on, Seattle fans, let's buy up all these tickets so the Canadian fans can't buy them. Do that. If not, suffer. Anyway, you're lucky because you won 8-3 last night. And now suddenly Seattle's in the race for the wild card.
Wow.
You know, do you know that Seattle sweeps the Blue Jays this weekend? Sweeps them, which they won't, but they might. We got Manoah going tomorrow anyway. If they sweep them, they're even with the Blue Jays for the final wild card spot. Even.
Wow.
So let's not let this happen. It's getting too close. The Jays lost 8-3 last night. Their sixth loss in the last seven games. The starting pitcher was, well, he wasn't the starter. He was the opener. This right. Bullshit again. Anthony Banda. Never heard of him? He's never heard of you either. Anthony Banda. At first, I thought it was the actor, Eric Banda. Eric Banda, the guy, you know. But no, it's not Anthony Banda, the opener. So here, this was the logic behind the opener. They didn't want Casey Lawrence facing one, the top third of the batting order three times. This is the way they're thinking. Oh, he'll get through the order three times, Casey Lawrence, right? So we don't want him to face the top of the order in the first inning. Let's put an opener in there. Let's put someone that hopefully, cross our fingers, can get a couple of outs or all three of them out. And then we'll bring in Lawrence for the second inning. I never could understand this logic. Never could understand it. Because they're thinking way too far ahead. We don't want him three times through the order. So what happens is Anthony Banda, he gets, what does he get? He faces four batters. He gets one of them out. He leaves two men on base. And then Lawrence has to come in with one out in the first inning. But he's warming up in the bullpen while Banda's out there pitching. I can't figure this out. What kind of mindset do you have to have? Listen, kid, you're the starting pitcher. Go out there and you're going to face three, maybe four batters. But I must, no. Just, okay. Don't allow any runs. And if you do, like, you know, keep it to a minimum so that when our guy comes in, he's already trailing. The fuck is that? Do you get that, Mike?
You know, the future of baseball, we love baseball, Hebsy, but the future is there are no starters and closers, and it's just going to be like a bunch of pitchers, and you just have a computer tell you who goes in for how many batters or whatever. Like, this is sort of where it's going, man. And I do miss the days where it's the eighth inning, and the manager's telling Dave Steeb he's done for the night, and Steve is giving him the death glare. Like, go right. Fuck yourself. I'm not coming out of this game. I miss right. Those days, man.
But aren't there way more injuries now? I mean, look, Ryu is gone. He's gone for the season. Won't be back till the middle of next season if he ever comes back at all. Kikuchi out again, but it doesn't matter because he pitched like shit anyway.
Yeah, you're better.
Gausman gets whacked on the freaking ankle. And already it's like, okay, do you think you can go in 4 days? The fucking guy almost passed out from the pain.
Wow.
3 days ago, right? And it's like, right. All right, can you throw off a flat ground? Maybe he can start. He's scheduled to start on Sunday. Scheduled to start. All right. Anyway, Casey Lawrence comes in last night. He doesn't do any better. He gets whacked around. The Mariners get two runs in the first. They get another in the second. And then they score four in the third. Ball game. And all these fans that came down from, you know, from Canada, they're like, what the fuck is this? Like there was like it sucked the energy out of the stadium. All right.
Did I hear right that they burned through the Canadian anthem because they didn't want the quote unquote home crowd to get too excited before the game? Like this was like a move by the Mariners not to let the anthem go too long. The Canadian.
I don't know about that. All I know is that the cheer after O Canada was rousing. It was fantastic. It was right. The greatest cheer in a long time that I had heard after our national anthem. That's for sure.
You watch. They're going to skip. They're going to skip O Canada tonight. You watch.
Well, you can't skip O Canada. But I'm just saying to you, I don't know how fast they played it. I don't know if they went, but as soon as it was over, like the crowd, because I saw a clip of it on Twitter, the crowd was just, because everybody, well, that's the other thing is every single fan that came down from Canada had a picture taken of themselves. Video of what it's like in there, right? These are people that they've never been to Rogers Center, and any comparison, like Pat Talbot was going, "Oh, this place is like Rogers Center." Give me a fucking break. Rogers Center is horrible, horrible. Unless you were there for the Bautista bat flip homer, it's not. It's got to be a place like Seattle for sure, man. That's a ballpark. Like we have
when the dome is full, and I, remember the drives of 2015 and 2016. When the dome is full and the crowd is into it, which was not that long ago, it's actually not bad, Hebsy. Like maybe I'm just being very biased here, but it's a pretty good vibe.
Not if you've been to any other ballpark in your life. It's not shit. It's a terrible fucking place.
Aww.
It's awful in this, and most of
all
the
we
seats,
got Hebsy.
Most of the seats don't face home plate. Like I told you before. You go ahead and go spend 9 innings sitting down the right field line. Your neck's going to be bothering you the next day because you're looking like this. You got to be like a goose. Mm. You know, that neck, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just
our weather. Can we?
But I'm saying if you go to other ball, right? Mike, if you go to ballparks,
I hear you.
For baseball. Yeah. No, you don't hear me. You have to sit there and go, oh my God, this is great. This is the way it should have been in Toronto. But no, they built the dome and everybody went, oh, it's a dome stadium. It was built for football and baseball. And remember, they had other events going there. And motocross, it's multi-purpose. And as soon as that was built within 2 years, every baseball park since then was built strictly for baseball. You notice that? Every ballpark since the dome, built for baseball.
Interesting.
We got the old, the white elephant.
Because remember, 5 years later, Camden Yards opens up and everybody's like, that's what we should be doing.
But I'm saying Camden Yards, Cleveland, then eventually most of them. And before that, look, Dodger Stadium, they don't play football there. That's a baseball park.
And now they're in fucking football at the dome anyway.
But I'm just saying, that's right. Now that's the irony of it, is what they should have done is they should have found a way to make BMO Field a baseball field. That would have been cool.
Can I ask you, though, this? Don't you think in Toronto, we need a roof? Like, we can't go back to having no roof in this climate, can we? Like, don't you think the future is all these places are going to have roofs, no? At some point, no?
I don't know, Mike. I don't know.
I'm asking you the tough questions today.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, here in Toronto, is the roof going to be open? Is it not going to be open? Are they forecasting rain? But originally, if you remember, they couldn't open the roof during the game. There was some, thing about that. We got to it. Once it's closed.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to be? So anyway, it was built in 1989. That's great. But 1989 was over 30 years ago. Okay. And when it comes to architecture, and especially when it comes to pro sports, everyone, this is the greatest place. And when it's full and all the private boxes are full. And the hotel and the whole deal. Great. But other than that, it's cavernous. And it looks awful on television to see the entire, if you go down the lines, you see there's nothing.
Yeah.
You know why? Nobody wants to sit there. You know why? It's horrible. It's not worth, if someone sat here for $2, you can sit there. But you're going to have a neck ache for the next. That kind of thing. Where was I? Max Castillo is going to be your next. This guy is going to be your next star on this team. I'm telling this guy right now. He comes in relief last night. Okay. The game's, pretty much done. He pitches 3 innings, gives up a run, strikes out 5, and begs the question, why wasn't Max Castillo your starter? If he was this good and he could give you multiple innings, why didn't you fucking start the guy? Instead, he's on a yo-yo back and forth from Buffalo to Toronto. You're back. You're the 27th man. What the fuck? Let this guy go. Well, you don't have any choices here. He should be your starter. But the problem is he threw 41 pitches last night. Okay? And he might have come out for the ninth. Like, I was discussing this with Rob Longley on Twitter. And then obviously Charlie Montoyo said, geez, I might need him on Sunday. What if Kevin Gausman can't go? Or what if Gausman goes like an inning or two and then he's, you know, keeps him out of the game. You got to use that guy. You need a long guy. So why not make this guy Castillo your starter? Why not say to Gausman, take an extra day, make sure you're 100%. And then in a blowout game, pitch somebody else. In the meantime, this guy's pitching Castillo and he looks good. It's like, fuck, this guy could be our fourth starter, fifth starter. Okay. So that's something to watch for. So let's see what happens on Sunday. All right. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with the Jose Canseco. Like, I felt bad for the guy because, you know, you're trying to make this catch and then the ball just happens to hit the heel of the glove, bounce out before you can squeeze it and goes over the fence.
Yeah, key difference, though. Off the glove, not the head.
True, true.
Nothing beats that Canseco one.
You're right, but it's a Hebsy Award anyway. But you're right, it doesn't rank up there with the Canseco one. How could it? How could it?
And we will be seeing, I think we'll be seeing that low light or whatever you want to call it. From those blooper reels for a long time.
No. Misplays of the week. Remember, right, Rogers, when they're operating, okay, when they work, when they're not flickering, Rogers has, I don't know if you ever noticed this, Mike, but like once whatever the game is over, they've got plays of the week, misplays of the week, misplays of the month, misplays of the year, plays of the year. There's like, it's like Reddit. There's 150 like subcategories.
Content. They're ready to go and fill up
150 subcategories. And see, now I always wondered what's Corey Warren doing in these off hours, or what's Faisal Kamiza doing in their off hours. All of them. They're hosting and narrating these blooper shows, these highlight shows, these 1 hour shows. I'm watching the other day. Hi everybody, Darren Detition with the top 500 plays of all time.
That's a quite,
you know,
quite
and so, and, but the thing is that he's hosting it and then he's just throwing to, and it's all the clips, right? With the actual announcer sound on them. Even the sound might be from a Sports Center highlight reel where Kara Wagland or Jay Onright or Kayla Gray was doing the voiceover and they're using that voiceover in the clip. So Dutchie's not doing any. And then after, I don't know, a while, you know, they go for a commercial, they come back and here's Dutchie again. Kind of, hey, everyone, thanks for joining us. So he does the intro, he does the extra, and the rest is just pieced together by the editors. They, you know, put some music to it or whatever, fancy graphics, and there you go. That's your programming.
Easy, cheap programming. Just run it 24/7 and get it over with.
Easy, cheap programming. Have you noticed the lack of a George Springer with the Blue Jays? Have you noticed this, Mike? Now
well,
I don't want to say I brought it up in the first place, however long ago it was.
Right.
But this guy is like an egg. He's fragile and he makes the greatest catches I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He goes full out. But when he does that, he can't play for a couple of days. See, that's the thing. I'll go full out for you, but I can't play for a couple of days. So now here it is early July and already the team says he's not playing, not starting two games in a row because of, quote, general aches and pains. Mm. What's this guy, 100 years old? What is this, mid-September and you're already in the playoffs, so you got to rest him because you need him for the... Are you kidding me? Fucking, that guy's making how much money? Man, I'm sorry, but Bradley Zimmer in center field may be a fine defensive center fielder. He can't be better than Springer defensively, can he? Mike?
No, of course not.
Right. So it's redundant. So what do you got this guy? I mean, what do you have Springer for unless you can play him? Okay, I know it's an elbow problem and you have a problem throwing or whatever, but come on, man. You either have to say to Charlie Montoyo, here's what he has to say to this team. Listen to me, everyone. This is what Charlie Montoyo has to do. Okay, whether Ross Atkins tells him to do it or he figures out on his own, he has to sit everybody down and say, all right, listen, guys, we're projected to be the champions. Last year, we missed by a game. We've got the best players. We might have some injuries. Everybody has injuries. We have to start doing one thing. We have to start hustling. Mike, this team doesn't hustle. You fucking jog down to first base on the ground. Look at Vladdy. Love Vladdy. Love him. He loves the game. Loves the game. But Vladdy doesn't hustle down the baseline. He hits ground balls and he gives up on them because he knows it's going to be a double play. And I think because he's influential, there's other players on the team that kind of go, you know, Lourdes is kind of the same. But I'm just saying though, that stands out to me. Yesterday, Mike, he drives in a run with a solid single. He makes the big turn around first like he's going to second. See, what that does is that What that does is when the throw goes into the plate, right, Vladdy has to take second base. Any batter runner, if he singles and drives in the run and the throw comes home, that batter runner has to realize that if the throw goes all the way through, in other words, if it's not cut off, he's got to go for second base. I understand that. Now, there's times where it's going to be a bang, bang play at the plate, and they're still going to have a chance to get Vladdy if he's trying to go to second. I get that. So what happens is the run comes in, Vladdy makes the turn like he's going to second, gets hung up. But instead of, I don't know, maybe taking off for second or trying to engage the fielder into maybe making a bad throw, he just stood there. He just stood still. And it took, I don't know, 5 seconds for the first baseman to run over to Vladdy, who's standing still, and put the little taggy on him. And I thought, you know, he doesn't hustle up the first baseline. And now here he is in a rundown, but he doesn't even, he gives up the run. He gives himself up.
He concedes.
So this team got to get their act together. But I really think that, you know, if you're going to have George Springer diving after balls and being injured and not being able to play, and you're going to, and he's a leader on this team, leads by example. And you're going to have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., second in the MVP last year, whole deal like that, not having the same kind of year, but still a very influential guy. And he's kind of, he's lollygagging, Mike. I hate to use the word.
He's not alone in that regard.
Supreme talent, lollygagger.
And still, it's the pitching though, right?
No, it's not. It's the whole team. How badly do these guys want to win, right? Are they prepared to, you know, get dirty? Is Vladdy prepared to get dirty? Sprint down the first baseline? Make the shortstop make a good throw? The Blue Jays don't put pressure on the other team's defense.
We make it easy.
We do. Tonight, it's Ross Stripling against Seattle's George Kirby. George Kirby, great comedian. Game not on Sportsnet. The game is not on Sportsnet. It's on radio. You listen to Ben Wagner call it by himself from you know, a hermetically sealed studio while the game's going on in Seattle. But it's not on Sportsnet. You have to have Apple TV tonight, all right? So I hope you didn't misunderstand what I just said.
It's exclusively on Apple TV tonight, not on Sportsnet. Is that right?
You got it.
I want to show you I'm paying attention.
Saturday, Robbie Ray against Alek Manoah. Yes, that Robbie Ray.
Right.
Against, yes, that Alek Manoah. That is a marquee matchup. That is a sellout.
Ooh.
And Sunday, they're hoping Kevin Gausman can go. Like, fingers and toes crossed. He's testing that ankle, testing it daily. You know, you got Pete Walker standing next to him with his arms folded all the time. I believe that's the only way I've ever seen Pete Walker, his arms folded, hand up to his mouth. And man, they need starting pitching. Kikuchi's on the IL. I mean, look, you got your main guy. You got Manoah's your ace. You got Stripling going tonight. Okay. He's pitching well. And then after that, you got Gausman, you know, with my fingers crossed, no Kikuchi. No Ryu. Man, Berrios pitched better the other night too.
Quick question, Hebsy. Now I know we're in Seattle now and we were in Oakland, but I'm going back to the five gamer against Tampa for a moment here. Cause I remember you on the show last week, we're calling for the five game sweep. Of course, like all us Jays fans, we were up 2-0 in that series. I wonder aloud if, and I don't have the answer, I should say that right off the top, but has a team ever led a series 2-0 and lost a 5-gamer?
No one has ever bothered to even research such minutiae.
Well, because how many 5-game series have there been? Like,
and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why.
Tell me.
When it's all over with, no one ever cared who won a quote-unquote series. Never made any difference to anyone.
I know, but it's
Yankees.
Rare.
Yankees have probably won more series, right? I.e., 2 out of 3, or 3 out of 4, or 3 out of 5, or 4 out of 5, because a 5-game series are rare. But I mean, to say it was a series of games within 162 games is absolutely meaningless. How's that for an answer?
It is meaningless, except in Toronto, we don't play 5-game series.
Mike, right? again, 5-game series means nothing. Means nothing.
Of course not, but none of your trivia means anything, right? But that's the whole point of trivia. It's trivial.
Right. And it's so trivial to me that I won't discuss it anymore because it's meaningless.
All right. Anyway. Talk to me about Ohtani of the Angels.
Well, hang on. Before I get to Ohtani, I just want to let you know that Seattle, really the Jays, you know, if you were to look at the way they are, even though they're fourth in the American League East and they have the third and final wildcard spot now. So you look at the other teams, you know, Cleveland, Seattle, you know, they don't look nearly as good as the Jays look on paper. And what I'm saying here is that I'm worried that the Jays are going to not get complacent isn't the word, but think that, you know, they can, I don't know, keep resting guys for the September drive. See, I don't know how often it's been since Springer. Like, I want Springer, Kirk, Vladdy, Teoscar. I want them all in the lineup at the same time. I don't know why your turn to rest. You know, okay, Matt Chapman, you're playing a doubleheader tomorrow. Well, that's fine. Okay, there's your day of rest there. But way too often am I seeing Kirk not in the lineup, Springer not in the lineup. These are your best hitters. Well, we're getting a day, a maintenance day, or whatever. Man, I'm telling you, I don't care. Find a way. Springer can hit. He hasn't been hitting lately. I get that. Either put him on the IL and get that elbow fixed or rest him. But don't tell me that you're like, don't not start him one day and then bring him in the sixth inning like they did the other night and then rest him yesterday. Because if you want to give him 2 days off in a row, don't bring him in the sixth inning to replace Tapia or whatever it was. Like, say he's taking 2-3 days off. But there's just too much. Well, I don't know. You know, we got to rest Kirk. Why do you have to rest Kirk? Just don't catch him. And when Jansen comes back, send Moreno back to Buffalo, right? Make Kirk your DH. Let Jansen catch a whole whack of games. You got to have Kirk's bat in the lineup. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. How good is Shohei Ohtani? The best ever. Jeremy Frank from at Major League Baseball, MLB Random Stats says this. Listen to this, Mike. The highest slugging percentage with runners in scoring position over the last 50 years in Major League Baseball. Highest slugging percentage with runners in scoring position. That's 3-run homers. That's 2-run doubles. Okay? Shohei Ohtani, 621. Mike Trout, 616. Mark McGwire, 615. So the best clutch hitter in the last 50 years in baseball is Shohei Ohtani. Now, the lowest slugging percentage allowed with runners in scoring position last 50 years. So the pitcher that does not allow, okay, hard hit balls, extra base hits, etc., the last 50 years, Shohei Ohtani. 201 slugging percentage. That's minuscule. That's your slugging percentage. That's like a single every couple of games with runners in scoring position. If Shohei Ohtani, Dellin Betances, Aroldis Chapman. Shohei Ohtani, 201 batting average. Dellin Betances, 211. Aroldis Chapman, 226. So that means he's the greatest clutch hitter in the last 50 years when it comes to power hitting. Okay? And he's the greatest clutch pitcher over the last 50 years with runners in scoring position. So if Wayne Gretzky would have won the Vezina Trophy as the greatest goalie in the NHL the same year that he won the Hart Trophy and the Art Ross, he would sort of be like what Ohtani is. That's incredible.
It's actually a brain breaker if you were to like give me that fact 10 years ago. Like go back just 10 years and tell me that there's going to be a person who's going to do this, and I would be like, you know, what are you smoking, Hebsy? That's ridiculous. Stop talking trash. Yeah.
It's going to like, be like, a, like, oh, that was
a unicorn. Fool. Like you've discovered
April Fool's joke. That was an April Fool's joke, yeah. Right? Like you're like, inventing a guy.
It's actually fucked up, actually.
It's Sid Finch. You're coming up with a story. You're making up a person, a baseball player that's going to come into the major leagues at the highest, highest level. And is going to be an unbelievable, incredible MVP hitter and pitcher. What are you, nuts?
It's like when you first find out Babe Ruth was actually a great pitcher, but then he switched, you know, it's sort of, but this is a whole different level. This is maintaining it over seasons. This is a whole different stratosphere.
Yeah, this is incredible. And I had mentioned this last week a couple of weeks ago, Steve Carlton in 1972 won 27 games and lost 10. So 27 and 10. The Phillies went 59 and 97. So he won 27 of the Phillies' 59 games. He lost 10. They lost 97. He only lost 10 of them. But listen to this. He threw 346 innings. Ooh. He struck out 310. Mm-hmm. He had an earned run average of 197. These all led the league with a last place team. He had 30 complete games, Mike, and 8 shutouts. His whip was 0.993. His WAR was 12.5, which is off the charts. And he finished 5th in MVP voting that year.
That's wild. Yeah, that's wild.
Steve Carlton on a last place team. That's sort of like Ohtani. Ohtani is unbelievable.
But they don't like picking the MVPs from bad teams. That is true. Even though in that situation, it kind of proves.
How can you not? More, he was last year and they're a bad team. And he's going to be this year too. Who else? The only person I could think of that could possibly win the MVP over Ohtani, unless Ohtani gets hurt.
Sure.
Jordan Alvarez of Houston. And for that to happen, he's got to win the triple crown. Like, the only way that you beat out Ohtani for the MVP is if you win a triple crown.
Even then it's no. Like
I don't know, if you win the triple crown, you kind of got to win the MVP.
Yeah. But after you drop that stat about, you know, him being the best, you know, best slugging percentage as a batter and lowest slugging percentage allowed as a pitcher, it's over. Like,
in the last 50 years.
Yeah, it's over. Like, just stay healthy and congratulations. You're a fucking unicorn.
Wow. Amazing. Did you see the Chris Sale tantrum? Did you see this?
I did not. No.
Okay. So Chris Sale goes down to Pawtucket. He's a pain in the ass anyway, Sale. He's a freaking whiner, and he was unvaccinated and very vocal about it. I know, cost his team some possible games. Anyway, so he gets sent to Pawtucket, which is the Red Sox AAA affiliate, and he gets yanked like in the third inning of a game with runners on base, and he goes into the clubhouse and he has a tantrum. Now, somebody who had a cell phone, there's a little crack in where the dugout door is and whatever, and they caught, you know, just sort of a narrow view of Chris Sale, you know, ripping up the locker room, you know, breaking shelves and throwing shit and stuff like that. Right. And then this went viral. And so, you know, and he's being completely childish. I mean, come on. What are you, 7 years old? What are you, Keith Moon? Elvis Costello ripping up the locker room? What the fuck is that? Right. So it just looked like ridiculous and childish and all that. And then the next day they ask him about it. And he says, well, that's the type of competitor I am. And like bullshit like that. You know, it's not the first time I've been a jerk, and I've been a jerk before. Well, stop being a jerk. Completely childish. Like, really? Like, who does this?
Right.
Okay.
Grow up.
Ripping up. Yeah, exactly. Grow the fuck up. So that's another reason to dislike Chris Sale. Just another reason to dislike the guy.
I'm going to add it to the list right now, Hebsy man.
Okay.
My list.
Let's get to the elephant in the room.
I want to hear your take on this.
The National Hockey League draft. The draft.
Yep.
In Montreal this year. Who's got the first pick? The Montreal Canadiens. The history of the Montreal Canadiens. The number one picks. And the late Guy Lafleur. And the late Mike Bossy from Montreal. And just all of it. And it was quite interesting, quite compelling. And then the Habs have the first pick. Right. So like all day long, it's like, well, the favorite is Shane Wright. He's minus whatever. He was minus 1,100 back in May. Like, if you wanted to make a bet back in May as to who would be the first pick in the National Hockey League draft, you could have taken him, but you would have had to lay minus 1,100, which means you would have had to lay $1,100 to win 100, which is not prohibitive. It's ridiculous. Who would make that bet? Nobody. By the time yesterday afternoon came around, he was like minus 300, minus 200. And then the word started filtering up. You know, Montreal might not take Shane Wright. Might not happen. Could be somebody else. And then what did they do? Well, they surprised everybody. Okay. Not the least of whom was Shane Wright, by taking Juraj Slavkovsky of the Slovakia national team and TPS Turku in Finland.
Wow.
Okay. But remember, this is the Slovaks. These are the guys that just won a bronze medal. This tiny little country, bronze medal at the Olympics. They went crazy. It was fantastic. It was, remember, Mike, it was so emotional. You know, you put Canada aside and look at this country, Slovakia, beat their big brothers, the Czech Republic, and all these other big nations, and won a bronze medal. And so, you know, he was one of the key players on that team. He's a good hockey player. He's like a Peter Stastny type of 6'4", 220 pounds. Ooh. And he's NHL ready. And a lot of people said, well, Shane Wright is not NHL ready. Maybe he's not going to have the same impact. Hey, we need a player who's going to be an instant impact. What happens? They announce his name and the idiot Habs fans start to boo. Many of them do. Okay. Most of them don't. But of course, the ones that are booing, you know, the ones, you know, the guys I'm talking about, right?
Hebsy man, we can't throw stones at these Montreal fans when we booed Damon Stoudemire being selected in the 95 draft. We booed the hell out of that.
No, this is different, okay?
How is it? Tell me how it's different.
Because we didn't know basketball. Torontonians didn't know.
None of them knew, okay?
No, they didn't. Not in 1995, not Torontonians. Okay, not the ones that went to the boo. You know why they booed?
They wanted Ed O'Bannon.
There you go.
And same thing happened in Montreal.
Not the same thing. Right. Ed O'Bannon was not the projected number one pick, blah, blah, blah. No. It was their first draft. Ooh, UCLA. Ed O'Bannon.
March Madness is all
UCLA.
We watch, right?
He's a UCLA brute. Fuck right up. Anyway, so you know the idiot fans I'm talking about. Not all Habs fans, just the idiot fans. And every time, and I get it, Gary Bettman gets booed every, but every single time, like enough, it became a sideshow. He became like a sideshow Barker, Gary Bettman, you know? He became, you know, and the other thing was he tries to speak French, but it's almost like Mr. Bettman. It's like you're making a mockery of it. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Like he's so bad at it. It's fucking pigeon French, like God.
It's like New York French.
Get somebody from the NH. Get somebody to go up there. Mesdames et messieurs, bonjour. Bienvenue à Montréal. Et maintenant, you know what I mean? Something. But he's just so pigeon. God, it was just awful. So, and maybe that's another reason why the Habs fans were booing him. The French Canadians, the Francophones were like, oh, fuck this. Gary Bettman can't even speak the language properly. Every time he went to the mic, they booed. Anyway, so Shane Wright is sitting there. They got cameras all over him. He's stone-faced. What do you mean it wasn't me? I was the favorite. Right. He is stone-faced. The next pick. With the second pick, the New Jersey Devils take from Slovakia, Simon Nemec, defenseman. Right. What? Is that Shane Wright in Slovakian? Is that his? No. Shane Wright doesn't go number two.
Wow.
Back to back Slovaks. Okay? Mm-hmm. Back to back Slovak. Did you have the Slovakian exacta? Anybody bet the Slovakian exacta? I would like to know what the odds were of a 1-2 Slovakian in the choices. No chance, man.
Right.
Whoa. So of course he's going to go number three because the Arizona Coyotes are going to take. Why wouldn't they? No, right.
Slam dunk. Don't even tell me what happened. Of course they picked Shane Wright.
No, they didn't. They took Logan Cooley, a center from the United States under 18 team.
Wow.
So when the Seattle Kraken, Ron Francis, the general manager, goes, what, he's available? It took him about 6 seconds. We take Shane Wright. He goes fourth. And what a death stare he delivered to the Montreal Canadiens table. They're right in front. They were right in front as he walked up to the podium. Man, it was something.
He's got that chip on the shoulder now, Hebsy.
He's got a chip on his shoulder. Now, should he have gone number one? I don't know. Should Denny Savard have gone number one in 1980 to Montreal? They took Doug Wickenheiser.
Right.
And then Winnipeg took Dave Babich. And then Quebec would have had the third pick overall, but they had traded that pick for the rights to Raoul Cloutier. And so Quebec should have had Denny Savard. Quebec, now that would have been something. But I think if Quebec had that third pick that year, Montreal would have taken Denny Savard because they would not have been, the thought of them losing, not taking him, and then Denny Savard playing for the Quebec Nordiques and being a superstar would have just been too much.
Hebsy, in your memory bank, and you've got a longer, better memory bank than I do, can you remember a consensus number one falling to four? Like, two is one thing and three is another, but I mean, can you remember a consensus number one falling to number four?
No, but a consensus number one, no. And I don't, that's the other thing is how many people, when did we start saying that Shane Wright was going to be the first pick? When? And did he have a great year with Kingston last year? No, didn't have.
That's funny because I'm not following it closely, but everyone I trusted said Shane Wright, and then I just bought into it that, This will be a slam dunk, just like, you know, Stamkos or Tavares.
Right.
Or
but everyone that said, Shane, right, were they out scouting the Slovakian team? Did they, you know what I mean? Did they see the development of these right. two youngsters?
And no Slovakian had ever gone number one. I think
no!
Gaborik went third.
Gaborik, yeah.
Gaborik, yeah, right. In 2000. Right.
Correct.
He was a great little player.
He was. So good for them. That's excellent. The Maple Leafs, what did they do? Well, here's what happened with the Maple Leafs. This is what kind of trouble Kyle Dubas got himself into. The pickle that he got himself into when he signed Peter Mrazek last year to a multi-year deal at $3.8 million on the cap hit. Right. The Leafs have the 25th overall pick, but they had to trade that pick and Peter Mrazek down. They had to give Chicago the 25th pick.
Right.
Okay. So they end up getting the 38th pick overall. So they have a pick in the second round, which is today. They have a 38th pick overall. They had to give up that 25th pick and Mrazek so that Chicago would take Mrazek's salary, which allows Kyle Dubas now. So he doesn't have the first round pick.
Right.
He's got the 38th pick instead, but he's got $3.8 million off the book. So he now has about over $10 million available in cap space. And that's enough. It should be enough to now go after Jack Campbell in free agency. Or Cam Talbot, or John Gibson, or I don't know, Darcy Kemper. They might not be able to afford Kemper. Right. But anyway, they got to figure out goaltending. And then Eric Schalgren will be the backup to whoever they go and get. Would you like to see Jack Campbell back with the Leafs next year? Dubas has the money. He's got the dough. They like him.
My answer is yes. What do you say?
My question to you is there another goalie out there that you sure. would feel more comfortable with that's available that could take you on a playoff run? And the answer is probably not. You're probably best off with Jack Campbell. He's a very, very good goaltender.
Right.
Right. Let's see what happens.
You know, that trade. Sorry to speak over you there, Hebsy man. But that trade, well, when you drop 13 or you go, yeah, third, you give up 13 slots.
Yeah.
To get that contract off the books.
Correct.
Sounds like a pretty smooth move by Kyle Dubas. Like, I was impressed that that's all it took to get rid of that contract was the 13 slots. What did you think?
Well, 13 slots could be important. They might have been, Chicago might have had three or four players targeted in that 20 to 25th pick slot, and they didn't want to lose any of them. And they probably knew they wouldn't be available at 38. So he said, we got to have one of those guys. So right. they said, okay, we want 25 from you. We'll take Mrazek off your hands, but you got to give us the 25th pick. We'll swap.
Well, that's an easy way, I'd say to.
Chicago has plenty of cap space.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
They got lots of cap space. And again, I don't pay enough attention to the Chicago Blackhawks financial situation to really care. So we'll see what happens when hockey season begins. What is it? It's July. It's not for another couple of months. And free agency is coming. So we'll see what they do there. In tennis, Rafael Nadal withdrew from his semifinal match against Nick Kyrgios because of a 7-millimeter tear in his abdominal muscle.
Ouch.
What kind of wimp does this? Who does this? A 7-millimeter tear? Come on.
You're Nadal, joking.
Get tough. What are you? The man, 36 years of age, this year, won his second Australian Open and his 14th French Open title. He has more championships, more majors than any other man in history. He was going for this year, the calendar Grand Slam. That's winning all four major events in the same calendar year. He had two of them. He was going to the semifinal against Nick Kyrgios, who he could have probably beaten with his left hand. Oh, that's right. He's left-handed. but he withdrew. And I can't believe it. A 7-millimeter tear. Come on.
But you're joking, right? Like, I mean, I need to tell the listeners. Hebsy's joking right now because, you know, I'll get tweets, okay? But you're joking. Of course, that's a serious...
Why do you feel compelled that I need to tell
explain
the listeners?
You? It's not clear. Joking. Sometimes you got to, you know, you can throw a
So wink. You're not... Listeners so you're not clear.
Is no. That what, I know you're joking.
Oh, you believe that the listeners, you're speaking for all the listeners.
Because they can't see you, right?
Most they can't people see me, and they don't know me. They don't know me, right? Who the fuck is this guy who thinks that Rafael Nadal should be playing, at the semifinals?
You know.
7-millimeter tear. So here's my question to you, smart guy. If this were the final and not the semifinal, if this were the final, you think Nadal plays?
It sounds like that hurts like hell. I don't think he you know, he's not superhuman. There's a pain threshold. I don't think he plays in the
And he won a fantastic five-setter the other day. One of the best matches I've seen in years.
Well, he's incredible.
Spectacular. All right? And then in post-match, they're, I don't know if I'm going to be good enough. I tell you this right now. Right fucking now. Mm-hmm. You're going into the Wimbledon final. This is just the semifinal. A walkover for Kyrgios. You're going to the Wimbledon final. Mm-hmm. Huge ratings are coming. This is massive. Wimbledon, men's final. You're telling me that he's going to say, I'm going to withdraw from the final? No fucking way. So here I'm serious. The other one I was slightly.
Okay, now Hebsy's being serious.
Stop it. Okay? I'm just telling you that if they said to him, Rafa, it's the final, he's going to go, fuck 7mm. I'm going out there. I'm not withdrawing and allowing Novak Joker fuck to win a fucking major while I withdraw. I'm just telling you, I don't know the man, but if it was me, fucking pump me full of Novocaine, whatever the fuck it is. I don't care. Give me a jab.
Novocaine. You need Novocaine.
No, I don't mean Novocaine. Stop it with the puns. My God. So there you go. So if Djokovic beats Cameron Norrie, which he probably could with his left hand, and in that case, I am serious, then it's going to be Novak Djokovic and Nick Kyrgios in the final. I don't give a fuck who wins. I hope they both lose. I don't like either one of them. So right. Am I going to watch 1 second of a Djokovic-Nick Kyrgios final? No.
Me neither.
Absolutely not. Not interested. Like, it would be like watching two lousy comedians go out there. Why? And it's your Wimbledon final. And I'm sure the folks at Wimbledon are like, oh God, no. We had Rafa. Oh no. So now you had tickets to go see Rafa in the semifinal. Sorry. No match. Oh, you got tickets to the final. Kyrgios against Djokovic. Yeah.
Boo.
Meanwhile, the women's final goes tomorrow. Ons Jabeur of Tunisia against Elena Rybakina of Kazakhstan. So that Tunisian-Kazakhstanian, war that's been going on for...
Wow. For those are names I got to say.
Good for them. If you could point out either one of them on a map, good for you.
See, if Ons Jabeur, I'm sure I'm butchering this name.
You got it perfect. Perfect.
Okay. If they at my door right now, I would, what do you want me to sign for a delivery? Yeah. Who are you?
Could you find Tunisia on a map, Mike? Could you find Tunisia? I mean, I know my geography.
I used to get Tunisia and Tanzania.
Tanzania, there you go.
I used to get them confused.
Right. So anyway, Tunisia. And Kazakhstan. So there you go. So it's great. Great. I'm sure the Wimbledon folks are just going to be thrilled with this one. Like, because the number one seed, got bounced, at Wimbledon on the women's side. That's not as exciting. I don't think people, Jabeur against, Rybakina is not, the Wimbledon final that they were hoping for. Not even close. Let's get back to hockey for a second here, because we have to follow this story, Mike, that we've been, naturally everyone has been, about the gang rape by 8 members of the World Junior Championship hockey team, Canada's, back in 2018 in a London hotel room. The NHL has a new senior vice president of security, and his name is Jared Maples. This is from Ken Campbell, the outstanding writer from Hockey Unfiltered. So Jared Maples most recently was the director of Homeland for the state of New Jersey. The rest of his resume you can't put on paper, said NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Quote, he has a very interesting and diverse background in the security field. Huh. Is it diverse or diverse?
Either or.
Either.
Tomato.
Either or. A move like that would normally generate much in the way of headlines. It wouldn't anyway, because, the job of director of security is fairly anonymous. But the appointment of Maples, combined with Gary Bettman's desire to get to the bottom of things with regards to this investigation, should make anyone who was involved in the alleged gang rape after a Hockey Canada Foundation event in 2018 very nervous. Mike, they're coming. People are going to have to come clean.
This is money talking because Bettman has seen what's happened to Hockey Canada with those, you know, we talked about it. I made a joke about the keg, but of course there was some big, big fucking brands withdrawing their support of the program. And if they don't want that happening to the NHL.
So a new senior vice president of security. So these guys, they don't fool around. So you're going to get to the bottom of this. They're going to do everything they can to help this investigation along. And they also need to wash their hands. The NHL needs to wash its hands of this. And the only way to do that is to get to the bottom of it, and to hire, get your own people and find out, you know, and see what happens is a good investigation. People talk. I told you this last time. I know two of the players who were there. Were they in the room when the alleged rape happened? Don't know. But they were there around that time. Okay. And so are these guys shitting their pants right about now? I would be if I was there. And the other thing was, if I had nothing to do with it, I certainly would be cooperating as best I can. But were their promises? Were there, hey, what stays in the hotel room, what happens here stays here? What kind of brotherhood might have been going on? What type of arrangement or tontine or pact did these players have with Hockey Canada, with, you know, did the cops, were they told to turn the other cheek, to not press charges? I don't know. But we got to know what happened. We've got to know. In golf, did I mention that I played Crosswinds? Was it yesterday that I played? No, Wednesday. Played Crosswinds Wednesday.
How was it?
Playing against that. Oh, man, fantastic. It was great. I actually had a speech on Wednesday at the Probus Club in Oakville. Did a nice speech and sold some books. Because as you know, Mike, my book,
The Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of.
Greatest Athlete You've Never Heard Of. You know, when we had a book tour scheduled, or I had a book tour scheduled with this when it first came out, and of course the pandemic hit in the spring of 2020, and all of the stops on the book tour, you know, and I know I want to make it sound like it was the Magical Mystery Tour with a tour bus and all that kind of thing, but essentially it was a number of dates, you know, in front of, you know, various groups or whatever, to talk about the book, answer questions about the book, tell maybe a little bit about my life, you know, and sell some books, sign some autographs, have some pictures taken. Anyway, like dozens and dozens of dates canceled. And so only now are people, you know, allowing these events to take place again 2 years later. And so, you know, I got boxes of books I'm gonna sell. So if you're interested in the book, by the way, let me know. MarkHepscher@gmail.com.
And you'll autograph it for somebody.
Oh, yeah, directly from you. Absolutely. Would be more than happy to. So did this speech. So it's Wednesday. So it's about 11:30 in the morning. I'm like, hey, you know what? Let's give Crosswinds a call. See if we can get called up. There was a tea time available. Drove up there. You know, Oakville to Burlington is, what is it? Nothing. 10
Nothing.
Minutes.
You can walk it.
Exactly. You could cycle. Mike, you could cycle there in less than half an hour.
Right.
Up the hills. Oh, there's some pretty good hills up there though too. Anyway, so we played and it was absolutely beautiful. I shot 39 for the front nine and then fell apart in the back nine, shot 46 for an 85. Played golf with a couple of nice fellows and it was lovely. Had a little sandwich there and playing again on Sunday. And you should check them out. Crosswindsgolf.com. Make your tee times online. And you
say, I love how you save money. Yeah. You're about to say it now, but that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, they don't want you phoning in. They got other things to do than answer the phone. Yes. Hello. Yeah. Hi.
You know, automate that. And then you can spend that money you saved on the sandwiches and food.
You got it. So, two events this week in golf, the Scottish Open is this week obviously in Scotland. Corey Connors shot even par in the first round. He's nine back of the leader, Cameron Tringali. Nick Taylor's at +3, Mackenzie Hughes +9, where the wind's blowing in Scotland. The PGA Tour stop is one of these sort of second tier events. It is an official PGA Tour stop, don't get me wrong. But a lot of players are playing. They're taking the week off. They're playing the Scottish Open or whatever. It's the Barbasol Championship. Mike, you know what Barbasol is?
Shaving cream.
Correct. Do you know where it takes place?
Only because I cheated and looked it up, and it's Kentucky.
It is. It's Kentucky, home of Barbasol. That's right. The first round leader is Canadian Adam Svensson, not Adam Hadwin. Adam Svensson, a 10 under par 62. Mike, 10 under par in one round. Now listen to this.
Yeah.
10 under par, 7 birdies, 2 eagles, and a bogey. Svensson is from Surrey, British Columbia, 28 years old. Okay, remember that name. 10 under par 62 in the opening round. David Hearn from Brantford, Ontario, minus five. Michael Glickick from Burlington, Ontario, minus three. I have to get Hearn and Glickick out one day to Crosswoods. Taylor Pendrith back in action. He's at minus one. Manitoba's Aaron Cockerell, also minus one. Roger Sloan, plus three. The ladies, I don't even know if they're playing this week, man. See, that's another thing, too. It's weird. Yeah, you get so used to this week's stop on the PGA Tour, this week's stop. You know, the LIV tournament is not for, I don't know, another couple of weeks. But the PGA tournament, they grind it out. They just grind it out.
Well, I rely on you for my golf updates, I'll be honest. You tell me what I need to know, and without you, I'd be lost.
Oh, it's nice of you to say. I appreciate that. What else did I want to mention here? Yes. The Shohei Ohtani thing to me is the most interesting because people keep saying just like, this guy's unbelievable.
Right.
Like who, like, can we find some, it would be like, you know, I'm trying to think who was multi-talented, like in the entertainment industry. Like when they said like Gene Kelly was a dancer. Okay. Gene Kelly was an amazing dancer, but was he a great dancer before he became an actor? Like, did they say, geez, Gene, if only you could act. And then they went, oh my God, he's as good an actor as he is a dancer. And he's a phenomenal dancer. Right. Like, sure. It's sort of like that. Like Shohei Ohtani, like it was like, oh my God, look at how he throws the ball. What a pitcher. And then he hit and they went, oh my God, he's an even better hitter. Like one of those, that's fantastic. So you think of, you know, there's singer songwriters, you know, they can write the song, the lyrics, the music, and then they sing it and arrange it and all that. And that's multi-talented, but this is different, man. This is different to be that good, to be better than virtually everybody, your peers, the top, like you can't say, for example, you know, Barbara Streisand was a greater singer than, you know, Ella Fitzgerald. I mean, it's, you know, it's the unfair comparisons. You can go by records sold, whatever. Yeah. Right, but you can definitely and categorically say that Shohei Ohtani is a better hitter than all these guys, and a better pitcher than all these other guys. And you couldn't, you know what I mean? I'm not sure you could say that about any other athlete or performer, to say that the level that they performed at in two different disciplines, and they were the best at both.
So like we always, best. In this conversation, the two names that often pop up are Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
But to me, Ohtani is a far more impressive example of this because
he's far more top
in these two disciplines. And it's the same sport, but very different skill sets involved.
Well, I mean, Bo Jackson would have had to have led, you know, had been the best hitter in baseball.
Right. And he was an all-star, but never the best.
Right, and the best running back, the most explosive open threat in football. And did he come close to both? It's all relative. But you can't compare those numbers with Ohtani's numbers because he didn't dominate. Bo Jackson didn't dominate, in either of those disciplines, nor did Deion Sanders.
So I would say because we cannot, and having you on this call here, you know, you would know, like we can't find a comparable in the history of sports as we know it. Like we can't find somebody who's done what Ohtani's doing, which tells me that this is the next level unicorn that we've been talking about all day here, which is that there's been nothing else like this.
You would have to come up with someone like like the best soccer player in the world in the summertime, and in the wintertime, he's the best basketball player in the world.
Yeah.
Right? Because there is no other, the only other sport, like I said, would be that specialized like that would be hockey. Like, find me the Vezina Trophy winner who also leads the league in scoring.
But of course, that can't even happen. It's impossible because you
well, the only way it could happen
to be eligible.
The only way it could happen is if now don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
The way baseball, think about this, the evolution of baseball, Mike, has become, instead of the starting pitcher going as far as he can, he goes a couple innings, then this. What if in hockey, what if one day in hockey it becomes so dangerous for the goaltender or something, or they find that if they rotate goaltenders, they're fresher, that they play this goalie and then you're going to rest, okay, because we're going to play this guy now.
Like in 100 years, okay.
And if I was to tell you in 1965 that by the 90s or 80s even that there'd be specialists, you'd say, no, no way. So you couldn't see it today. But eventually what's going to happen is because all goalies played every game back in the day, then they had split goalies. Now sometimes teams carried three goalies. Maybe they open up another roster spot so you've got a third goalie. Injuries, who knows?
But
It's possible. It's possible that a kid comes along.
Yeah.
A kid comes along who played minor hockey under a system like that, where you're not allowed to play X number of games in goal or else you'll get CTE. I don't know, Mike, but suppose it came along.
Okay.
And now let's say your eldest son, James, has a family and each and one of his kids, it doesn't matter if it's a boy or girl. He says, you know, I'm going to teach
my grandchild.
Your grandchild is going to learn multiple sports and multiple disciplines.
Right.
Right. In the summer, you're going to play this. And in the winter, you're going to play that. And so, and what you're doing is you're setting it up for your child to earn an athletic scholarship to a U.S. school. So you don't have to pay $300,000 U.S. for their education. But along the way, your grandchild develops an uncanny sense, first of all, ambidextrous. Right. Because James and his future wife decided, oh, you know what? I'm lefty, you're righty. Right. And that's the way the world is today. I can do, you can do your screen with your, you can text left-handed and you can text right. So now the child develops an uncanny ability to play basketball with both hands.
Right.
Right. And hockey, goalie. And not only that, doesn't like to play goal every game. So 3 out of every 4 games he plays forward or she plays forward and is spectacular. You don't think that's possible? That someday Boone's grandchild is going to be compared to Shohei Ohtani one day.
We got to shout out one name before we wrap this up here because Midtown Gord is on your live stream here. That means he's not a Rogers customer. And he he wants to shout out, and he's right. Clara Hughes, we should just mention, because Clara Hughes reached the pinnacle of cycling and speed skating.
I don't know about the pinnacle, but she won Olympic medals in both. That's pretty close. I don't think you're ever going to get Clara Hughes compared to Shohei Ohtani. It's different.
No, I know. I wanted to shout her out though.
She might be listening. But you're 100% right. Winter and summer. Okay. Winter and summer.
Shout out to Clara Hughes.
I used to not climb with a bicycle, but I used to run up Clara's Climb in Dundas, Ontario. That's the Sydenham Hill.
Wow.
And that's when she trained. For her first of many Olympics, that was where she trained.
Wow.
Clara's Climb, about a 1 kilometer climb up the Sydenham Hill in Dundas, Ontario. Wicked, baby. Wicked. But I think it's like a 9% grade or something like that. It's crazy. Anyway, that's it for Hebsy on Sports episode 292. Thanks to Toronto Mike for production and inspiration. Hit him up at Toronto Mike. Thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Crosswinds Golf and Country Club in Burlington. Go to crosswindsgolf.com. Book your tee time online. Tell them Hebsy sent you. Thanks for allowing us into your headspace. We are back with another episode next week. Until then, so long for now.